Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. This week, the president declared that the state of the union is strong, and in particular, the economy.
At this moment, with a growing economy, shrinking deficits, bustling industry, booming energy production, we have risen from recession freer to write our own future than any other nation on earth.
But while the U.S. is doing better, things aren't looking so great around the rest of the world. China's economy is slowing. Things are looking even worse in Europe. And this weekend, voters in Greece go to the polls in what could be an election that might have repercussions for the entire eurozone. Well, Rana Fruhar with Time magazine is getting a close-up look at all of it and how the global economy could threaten ours, because she's in Davos at the World Economic Forum, and she joins me from there. Hi, Rana.
Hi.
So yesterday, the ECB, the European Central Bank, took this big step to try and prevent the situation in Europe from getting even worse. Can you explain exactly what they did and how will it work?
Absolutely. So the European Central Bank launched something very similar to what we've seen in the U.S., a program of quantitative easing, which basically means that they're going to buy up a bunch of bonds, euro-denominated bonds, about 1.1 trillion euros worth of those bonds between now and September 2016. And you can already see the effect of this in the market. European stocks are booming. You're also seeing the value of the euro go down, which is actually good news in some ways for Europe because it'll make their exports more competitive, which is what policymakers are hoping that'll help Europe to sell more stuff abroad, get the economy going, and get jobs pumping again.
So if their bank is basically trying to do what the Federal Reserve did, i.e. put a lot of money in the system, get money to companies, hopefully they'll start hiring people, things like that, is it too late or is it enough money that they're spending?
Well, that's the big question. I mean, I would argue that it's a pretty ambitious plan, that it could certainly have come sooner. But I'll also say that I think that it's really a Band-Aid over the real problems in Europe, which is that this is a region that has a common currency, but it doesn't have a common political union. It doesn't have a shared fiscal policy. It's not like the United States, where a rich state can transfer money to a poor state through the federal government. You know, when countries like Germany are doing well, there are others like Italy and Spain that are doing poorly. That creates a lot of pressures.
Well, so you're in Davos at the World Economic Forum. That's where the CEOs and political leaders, even some celebrities, all gather for a big confab. And the theme this year is New Global Context. What does that mean?
You know, that's the kind of title that they put on when they don't know what the year is going to hold. And
well, so then what are you finding there then? What is happening at Davos?
This year, everybody's talking about volatility. They're talking about political conflict. They're talking about Russia. They're talking about what's happening in the Middle East. What they don't know is what's going to happen in the market and, more importantly, what's going to create jobs.
Well, right as the events were starting there in Davos, there was a report that was released this week from Oxfam that basically found that 80 of the wealthiest people in the world, they own about $2 trillion. And that's about the same amount that 3.5 billion people own when you add up all their assets together. Is income inequality something that's being discussed much there?
You do hear talk about income inequality, but frankly, I'm not hearing any real hard action, any kind of a sense of, you know, we're driving towards real policy, in part because, frankly, the policies that we need, which are changes in the tax code and changes in the way corporate compensation works, would challenge a lot of those people and challenge the people that pay for Davos.
Well, Rana, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rana Fruhar is an economic columnist for Time magazine. Over the next few weeks, WNYC's new tech city is challenging you to be bored. Or to put it another way, change your relationship with technology, read your phone, and space out, let your mind wander. It's something that scientists say is necessary for us to be at our most creative. But to be bored, you have to cut some things out, and how do you figure out what really matters? Well, for that, I talked to Greg McKeown. He's the author of one of the top business books of last year called Essentialism: The Disciplined Pursuit of Less. And to start it off, I asked him, what is essentialism?
Well, essentialism is the antidote to what I think is really a huge problem today for people. And the problem is that people everywhere feel overworked and underutilized. They feel stretched too thin at work and at home. They find that at the end of the day, their email inbox is longer than it was at the beginning, as well as their to-do list. And so really, it's the antidote to a problem. and the problem I call non-essentialism, which is a long word for a simple idea, really, which is that we've been conned.
Conned in what way?
Well, we've been conned with the idea that if we can fit it all into our schedules, then we can have it all in our lives. But really, that isn't what happens. And people end up, what really happens is they're stressed, they aren't sleeping properly, their productivity plateaus or even starts to go down, and they're making only a millimeter progress in a million directions. And so essentialism is really the other view, the other way of approaching our lives.
So then what are the first steps to try and get to that point where you accept that maybe you can't have it all?
Well, I think that one of the first steps is to see how conned we have been. So, I mean, in my own life, for example, I remember that I was conned by this idea in a pretty serious personal situation or mistake. I received an email from my boss at the time saying, look, Friday is a very bad time to have a baby. And my wife was expecting one of our daughters at the time, and Friday was the due date. And as it turns out, our daughter was born on Friday. And I was there for the birth, but instead of being able to be focused on this most important moment and to be undistracted and present, I really was trying to straddle both requests. And I was trying to work out how can I do both? And so I was picked up from the hospital and taken to the meeting. I went, to my shame. I'd made a fool's bargain. And what I learned from that experience was that if you don't prioritize your life, then someone else will.
Why do you think it's so hard for us to not be able to say no more easily?
We have been taught you can do it all. You can say yes to it all. And if you really can do it all, then you probably should say yes to everyone, because that's what a good person would do, a good team player would do, a good citizen would do. But it's just nonsense.
Greg McKeown is the author of Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less. You can hear my full interview with him at our website, moneytalking.org, or by going to iTunes and subscribing to this podcast. And when you're there, give us a review. It really helps get the word out. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.